Welcome to Neon and Beyond, a weekly public affairs program produced by Lotus Broadcasting, raising awareness for issues in our community. We will also address the needs of local nonprofits in this entertaining half hour. And now, here is your host of the longest-running public affairs program in Southern Nevada, Steph McKenzie.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Neon and Beyond. I'm your host, Steph McKenzie. It's time to get up close and personal with things that are going on in our community here in Southern Nevada. Nevada and our great area of Clark County. Now, we like to always get to some things that are going on and how you can get involved, but the next 15 or so minutes, I have the amazing Bronson Mack from Southern Nevada Water Authority here with us. He's the public outreach manager, and we have collaborated at Lotus Broadcasting for the past 2 years to bring in the water district and talk about things going on. Conservation, is Lake Mead going to dry up? Do we have to move? Are we not going to have any water? But today he came in and we are discussing something else today. We're actually going to be talking about COVID-19 and what is going on at the Water District and concerns that people have had. And I'm excited. Like, this is your time to tell me everything about it. Bronson, first of all, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for having me, Steph. And I really appreciate you kind of indulging me and having a conversation about this topic. You know, the things that we're doing at the Water District and at the Water Authority to help ensure we can continue to provide water going forward are extremely important for the Valley, and I think that it's really important for your listeners to hear.
Awesome, and I think that you're going to answer a lot of questions of people. First of all, I think one thing that is going on is that, and it's been going on for so long, is that we have social media and people read something and they run with it, right? Or they hear one news outlet and they run with that. And then I think the other thing is one of the water's gone, the toilet paper is gone. When I say water, I'm saying bottled water. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest reason that people are doing that is that they're taking that to the level of here, it would be an earthquake, right? We're a little scared. People are running a little scared, which I think you need to remain calm around everything else. Just take a deep breath. There's preventable things that you can do every single day. And the water, is it going to be contaminated? So I know that's a lot right there. Fill us in on the blanks on what's going on.
Yeah, you bet, Steph. So I think first and foremost, what our public health officials have been telling us and telling Southern Nevadans is just as you said, to remain calm. There are some very practical things that we can all be doing to protect ourselves, washing our hands, wiping down areas that have high contact areas with lots of different people that may touch those areas. You know, Southern Nevada Health District has some good information on their website on ways in which people can protect themselves. Now, we're in constant communication with the health district, being that we are the primary water provider here for our community. And through that, you know, we are taking steps within our organization to help ensure that we can continue to provide water, even in the occurrence of community-wide illness that could occur as a result of COVID-19. And, you know, I think first and foremost, it is most important for Southern Nevadans to know that our organization has a readiness and response plan specific to dealing with community-wide illness.
Okay, I want to ask you about that first before you get into it. So you said emergency response plan, correct?
Correct.
This isn't something, though, and this is another thing. That's why everyone take a deep breath listening. This is something that you guys have had in place from other things that have happened in the past.
Yeah, you know, we have had as an organization an overall emergency response plan to respond to any number of emergency scenarios, be it, you know, an earthquake or some kind of major power outage or some other kind of event that could affect our community. And it was about 2006, 2007.
And with that, you guys are brought up to speed each year with different things, you know, and you're going through things, you're being taught things.
We update it regularly. And it was in about 2006, 2007, when we developed a readiness plan to respond to a potential influenza issue. There was the H1N1 influenza that was occurring. There was swine flu that had come at around that same time as well. So our organization took a proactive approach and put together a plan so that we could continue to identify what steps we needed to be taking so that we could not only deal with the issue at hand, like we have now with COVID-19, but also ensure that the water continues to be treated to drinking water standards, that it continues to flow through the pipelines, that it continues to be delivered to our community or made available in some other way if necessary. And we have continued to review that plan, update that plan, and as of right now, we are implementing that plan.
Right. When just to give you an idea of this, Bronson and I are handshakers and like, hey, I haven't seen
huggers.
You because we're huggers. We do that like every 6 months because we've become like besties. We do this a lot. And I came around the corner. I was like, Bronson. He was like, oh, you didn't get my email. Say, well. And he was saying that not to be mean or anything, but that's coming from your organization.
That's right.
And that's going to be probably my biggest downfall because I just love to hug people. And listening to why you guys do that and what's going on has made so much sense to me.
Yeah. And, you know, as an organization, we are working on social distancing. So we are minimizing our interactions in big group gatherings for meetings internally. We are doing a lot more of the electronic communication as being the first and foremost form of communication back and forth. There's a lot more picking up the phone and calling over to a coworker rather than walking over and engaging directly with them. On top of that, our facilities crew has modified their processes to help ensure that our customer service lobby is cleaned and sanitized regularly. They are utilizing some unique techniques and unique hospital grade materials in order to do that. We do ask that any of our customers, Las Vegas Valley Water District or any other water purveyor here in Southern Nevada, if you are feeling sick, if you have a fever, if you are showing symptoms and you need to pay your water bill, don't come into the office. Don't come down to the lobby. There are lots of other ways in which you can pay your water bill remotely. You can do it online. You can do it over the phone. There's any number of different mechanisms so that you don't have to come down and engage directly with staff. And if you're somebody who is concerned about entering into public facilities and you yourself are looking at maintaining social distancing, go online, make sure that you've got your account set up electronically with Las Vegas Valley Water District, or give us a call and you can do all of your business online or over the phone. You don't have to come in human contact with us. And that's just acting in an overabundance of caution and doing what our health professionals are recommending that we do right now, which is maintain social distancing, about 6 feet of separation from folks, and don't get together in large groups.
So this morning on Neon and Beyond, we're speaking with Bronson Mack, who is the public outreach manager for Southern Nevada Water Authority, of course, here in Clark County. And usually our segments are about conservation and the new things going on with water. But this morning, we're talking about the COVID-19 and how it's affecting them, the procedures that they are doing there, and being in touch with our health district and finding out the new and up things that we need to start doing right now, our emergency response actions going on. But everyone just, you know, being proactive is what I'm getting from you this morning, Bronson. Correct me if I'm wrong, and helping with those tips.
Yeah, and again,
is amazing.
That's following what the health district is indicating. Visit the Southern Nevada Health District website so that you can learn a little bit more about proper hygiene, ways in which you can protect yourself. You know, I think one thing to point out, which has come to our attention, obviously, is the question about whether or not folks should be stockpiling bottled
water. I was just going to ask you. I go, let's get to the water question because you're kind of the water guy.
Yeah.
Do we need all this water in our house?
So, you know, the way that we approach this is that every Southern Nevadan should have their own preparations and really their own kind of emergency response plan themselves. You know, the county outlines that you should have sort of a to-go kind of container in the event of a major earthquake where you've got some of the essentials that you would need for you and your family. Now, when we heard COVID-19 and the community began to somewhat react to that and prepare for that, bottled water is one of those things that rises to the top of the list. And certainly, if you feel that you need to have bottled water for you and your family through this process, you should be taking those necessary steps that you deem appropriate. From our standpoint as the water provider, we have our plans in place so that we can continue to make water available to this community, even in the occurrence of widespread illness. You have to keep in mind that while this is a health issue, it is not an infrastructure issue. So we will continue
to have reliable
infrastructure on the water supply side. We will continue to be able to deliver or make that water available. We've also put into play and taken steps to make sure that we have all of the resources that are needed for us to continue to maintain water treatment processes. In the event that supply chains are interrupted, we can continue to provide quality drinking water to this community for an extended period of time.
So basically what you're saying is that if we drink tap water or if we need to drink tap water, it's okay.
Yeah, you know, tap water meets or surpasses, especially that water here in Southern Nevada, it meets or surpasses federal drinking water standards. We collect more than 50,000 water samples every single year. And we collect those samples from Lake Mead, from our treatment plant. We also collect those samples from your neighborhood. We're in your neighborhood collecting water samples. And of those 50,000 samples, we conduct more than 300,000 analyses on those samples. So we know what's in the water, and we're looking for specific things. And our water treatment processes are so robust and really on the leading edge that our water continues to meet or surpass those drinking water standards. Now, one more thing to keep in mind, there is no indication that COVID-19 is transmitted in drinking water supplies. There is no indication that that has occurred. On top of that, just to reassure, we utilize a three-step process of ozonation, filtration, and chlorination. That ozone and chlorine are, again, the most effective water treatment processes at destroying any microorganisms, including viruses.
I have to say, I feel clean just talking to you. Like, you're one of the cleanest people I've probably come in contact with. And I appreciate you coming in this morning and sharing all this, not only about water and drinking water. And yes, it's okay for everyone that, you know, hasn't heard that or is just joining us right now. You can drink our water here in Southern Nevada. It is okay. Bronson Mack is here to let us know that. And plus, of you guys working, is it a government agency? Is the Las Vegas Valley Water part of that?
Yeah, we are a quasi-municipal agency. So we do
you're getting
specifically
information.
Serve the public. We are a public entity. We are here to serve this community. We are here to make resources available. But more importantly, we're here to provide reliable, quality water. That's our mission. That's what we do every day. And our readiness plans and emergency response plans are structured so that we can continue to do that.
All right, so a few more minutes before we let you go. With that being said, and you guys, you know, being on the forefront of everything and making sure everyone is safe and we're going to be okay, can you give us some tips while this is going on?
Yeah, you know,
what you guys are doing at your place as well. I think it's good to incorporate it because, like we said, some of us, including myself, like, eh. And then listening to what you guys are doing at your business, I'm like, ah. Maybe I should.
Well, you know, we are an organization of about 1,400 individuals. We have lots of different functions that we have to perform, whether that's actual operating of the water system or the water treatment system, the customer care components
and it's 24/7. Customers.
That's right. We deliver water 24/7, 365 days a year. Every time you turn on the tap, we meet the demand. And throughout that entire time frame, we have our scientists, we have our systems in place so that we're monitoring that water quality. We've always got eyes on it. We always know what the quality of the drinking water is throughout the distribution system. So when that water arrives to your home and out of your tap, you can have confidence that it meets the federal standards and the federal guidelines. Now, our water has a taste, and that taste is a result of hardness. It's also a result of the chlorination in that water.
Right.
But you need to keep in mind that chlorination that you might be tasting, that you may not be too pleased with the taste, it is that product, it is that process that is helping protect that water when it does arrive to your tap so that it is as clean as it needs to be so that you can drink it with confidence.
All right, so the COVID-19 going on in the Las Vegas Valley Water District, taking all precautions and the water is safe.
Yeah, and we will continue to be able to provide water throughout the duration of this emergency, and we're prepared to do that, and we just want to make sure that the community is aware. Don't forget, when it rains, turn off your sprinkler clock. We still have conservation. Conservation is still important, and make sure that you are only watering your lawn or your landscape no more than 3 days a week right now because we are in the spring watering restrictions. Don't water more
than
3 days a week.
And you don't want Ryan Reeves to come get you.
Some people actually do. But I'll tell you this, if you're wasting water, it's not Ryan Reeves that's going to come. It's a water waste investigator, and we don't want you getting hit with big fines.
All right. That's good to know.
And visit snwa.com.
That's what I was just going to ask you.
For more information, we do have some information up on our website for COVID-19. There's also an FAQ there for anybody who would like some more information on this issue and how we're ensuring that we're providing reliable quality water. Go to snwa.com, Southern Nevada Water Authority, or Las Vegas Valley Water District, LVVWD.com.
Okay, a few things from me that you can correct me if I'm wrong before we go. What we've learned today, do not overstock on the water unless it's your preference, but our water is good to drink. We're okay there.
Everybody
right?
needs to take their own precautions. If you feel that you need to have bottled water within your home during this time, take those necessary steps, but just know that the water being delivered is meeting or surpassing drinking water standards, and we will be able to continue to provide water and make it available to this community throughout the duration of this event.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming in this morning and helping us. Everybody, we keep telling everyone to wash your hands. Just wash your hands, and maybe some little partial distance from people. And the water is safe to drink here in Las Vegas if you choose to do so. Then we are all good to go there. So again, Bronson Matt coming in, the public outreach manager for the Southern Nevada Water Authority. I appreciate you coming in. We'll see you in a few months.
Thanks for having us, Steph. Can't wait to come back.
All right, you guys, thanks. This has been Neon and Beyond. Hang tight. We got more great stuff on the way. We have a really fun event that's coming up that you can get involved with. I mean, I think they all are fun, but you know, everyone's always looking for a way to get involved in this great community. And without further ado, we have an event coming up and something that also you might want to utilize what they're offering here throughout Las Vegas. It's something really cool. So Adam's Place, if you don't know about Adam's Place, it's support for children and families that have experienced loss, and that is a big gamut when we say loss. But this morning, Kelly Boyers is here, and she's the CEO and the founder, more importantly. And how long have you guys been here?
11 years. Can you believe it?
Oh my gosh. Good morning.
Good morning, Steph.
I cannot believe that you guys have been here for 11 years, because when we say the word loss, which I know you're going to share with us in a little bit, there is a big list.
Yep.
It's not just death because of an illness or because of a tragic accident. So first of all, tell us why you started Adam's Place.
Sure. I lost my son, Adam, in 2007 due to injuries sustained in a car crash. So it was a sudden loss. I had a 15-year-old son, Adam's brother, and I was quite concerned on how he would cope with the loss of his only brother. So we looked around at what was effective for children, and peer support group was far and away the research indicated how important and how effective it is with children to feel less isolated, increase their confidence, learn to share their story, learn the vocabulary around feelings, intense feelings. And so we started at 501c3 in 2009 and launched in the community Adam's Place, where we do peer segmented support group with coping skills, education, and activities.
I think that's so amazing, because you think about this, for all of us listening this morning, we've all gone through something and you can think back to your first memory of what that might have been.
Right.
And it's about being with kids that are your own age, right? Or I guess big kids like us. That's why we always go online, or we do our social media, or we text people good things.
Right. And we know children learn through peer groups, right? That's how children learn. They learn through play. They learn through each other. And it's no different when it comes to social emotional skills as well. So they're looking, they're mimicking, they're modeling, and they're looking for how peers are, how they can communicate their story. And sometimes at school, they don't get the chance. They don't have, they don't get to go dive down a bit. And that's what's important about a community within a community, to give children a chance to hear each other's stories, because then they develop empathy that way. And so when given the opportunity, children can choose empathy, and those are lifelong skills, right?
Yeah, empathy is something I think is hard for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Well, and we know research also, if you weren't shown empathy as a child, it's very difficult for you to give empathy as an adult.
Absolutely. I know a few people like that. And I don't think it's being mean or disrespectful. It's just that's a hard one. Mm-hmm. It really is. Mm-hmm. And Adam's Place is for kids and families. Mm-hmm. And we learned before when you guys, you know, you're not a stranger to coming in on Neon and Beyond, but you guys have a group that runs, I would say, semester to semester.
Right, right.
Not just a group, but different groups.
Right. So our program used to be open-ended, but then we felt like it really wasn't setting up an expectation to acquire skill. So now our program is 8 sessions over 16 weeks, and there's a specific topic, goal, and objective to each session. So we know that grief is much more chaotic than, you know, any 5 stages. What we know, it's a lifelong management. And so the topics and the embedded objectives and goals help the children and teens learn skills to manage that, reconcile it, get better and better at telling their story. So it's a lifelong management on their journey of coping with loss and grief.
And if people are listening this morning, like, give us the location or how to get involved, because you know that it happens.
Yep, it happens. And in our in-school groups, we do, loss includes deportation, divorce, death. So loss has a larger, and we stretch the definition.
And that's important to know because, like I said at the beginning, it's not just a tragic death or an illness.
Right. And, you know, I've been in these groups and the kids have built the empathy and the understanding. And then they further check in with each other beyond the group setting at the school. So it's really great for them to be able to network, if you will, with each other beyond the group setting. So we our death specific groups are held at Adam's Place, which is at 2820 West Charleston, Suite 40. You can find us online at www.adamsplacelv.org. Sign up for support. You'll get an automatic message on when our next orientation is. We're very structured in how we introduce families to our group so they understand who we are, who we're not, what we do, what we don't do, what they can expect from us, and what we can expect from them. So that orientation process is very important. And if you are a parent, happen to be listening, and would like to see our groups at your school, you can let your social worker, school counselor, or the principal know. We're in the midst of doing a survey out in Clark County School District, actually Valley-wide, to identify what schools need us to come on campus. And right now we have almost 34 elementary schools that would like us to have programs there. And that's why our fundraiser is so important, because our participant is a child, and that's how we're raising funds for Johnny or Joey or Julianne to be able to have access in a cost-effective way to support that will bring them lifetime benefit.
Yeah, Adam's Place this morning, that's what we're discussing here on Neon and Beyond. This is a place for kids, for families, for moms and dads that are experiencing loss. And loss, like we said this morning, just isn't about, you know, the death. There's deportation that goes on. There's divorce. There's lots of things that when we say loss, that affects the whole family and how to deal with that. And you guys run off of this is a free. You're going to go to Adam's Place if you need the help and you can commit the time. Mm-hmm. It's open for everyone. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter who you are.
We're very fortunate. We've gotten some funding from Clark County commissioners this past year through an outside agency grant. State of Nevada, we have some help coming from the state of Nevada through some grants. And then we raise our money. And usually our grants have to be a dollar-to-dollar match. So fundraising is very important to us because if the state or county can match the dollars, then we have to get the dollars coming in. So our fundraiser is coming up, and it's a super fun one. We have wine. We have entertainment.
Wait, you said wine, I'm there.
Yeah. We got a band, live band. We encourage everybody to come in 1920s. You can get some great deals on that online because we have a contest or male, female, and a couple. And this year, we're also featuring some tailgating out on the patio at Red Rock Country Club because we're becoming a sports town. And, you know, sports creates community within community. And we'll put a shout out to including that.
I know. It's going to be so much fun dressing up in the 1920s. So this is the only fundraising that Adam's Place does. And I'm a big supporter of you guys since I found
Thank
out. You've
you.
Been here for 11 years.
Yep.
And so if you're listening and we can get them into the schools, first of all, but why not? Even if you don't or haven't experienced right. or whatever, want to get involved volunteering or just want to see what they're about. These are always the cool places to, you know, get your toe wet and see what you guys are all about. So April 22nd, make sure you put that on your calendar because it's the 11th annual Vintage and Vines yep. at Red Rock.
Yes, Red Rock Country Club.
Do you have to buy tickets beforehand?
Online, yeah, we'll be selling them at the door as well, but it's adamsplacelv.org. Ticket information, sponsorship information's there. We'll be selling them up to the day of the event. We've got some great restaurants coming out for great fit and tasty food bites. Shout out to Capital Grill, Mon Ami Gabi, Chef Rick Giffen over at Oyo Hotel. And we're just super excited because our community has been following us, but we need to grow our community. So we'd love to have all your listeners come by.
Well, what happens when you guys get into all those elementary schools and high schools? We're going to have two fundraisers, yeah. just so yeah. you know.
Well, you know, funny you mentioned that because we've got a run in the fall. We're doing our first annual run at the Springs Reserve on November 14th.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you have to come back in and hang with us.
Yes, I will.
Oh, good. See what happens? I love watching everyone grow and do great things. And then pretty soon you're going to have all these other partners that are coming together with all the 501(c)(3)s, and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, you know, we just have created a partnership with Light by Music, and so we're adding music as a coping bereavement tool, and it's been really magical to watch all ages working with that, and we're creating some songwriting opportunities. I think next fall you'll see some songwriting programs from through us for middle school and teens. So yeah, great partnerships. And speaking of volunteers, as we grow in the schools, we'll need more volunteers. We'll train you. We'll give you all the equipment, all the tools that you need. It's a great opportunity to do something in the schools that really fills a gap.
Especially with our kiddos, if yep. something like this happens, because they're, you know, they're so they have no idea.
They
need answers.
Yep,
they need help.
Yeah, and they need someone to listen and someone to acknowledge and validate. And then we're going to help them learn a coping skill that helps them self-manage and even the tough emotions. And, you know, we always talk about anger in a bad way, but anger is good sometimes because it motivates us to change things. But we just have to learn to help us motivate us in the right way, help it be a healthy way to express our anger, and just learn to express in a way that helps children own their story, share their story.
That's amazing. I love this.
Thank you.
This morning we're talking about Adam's Place. Kelly Boyers is here. She's the CEO and founder, 11 years strong here in Clark County, yep. Southern Nevada and Las Vegas, with the 11th annual Vintage and Vines 20s attire coming yep. up. April 22nd, Red Rock Country Club.
5:30.
Anyone we need to thank before we let you go?
Oh, I'd love to thank Land Rover Jaguar, who's been our sponsor for 11 years. The great work that they do in our community with us and other nonprofits. Gaming Arts and Marketing and Wayman. And just all the sponsors, food sponsors that will be on board.
Hello, lots going on. And it's adamsplacelv.org?
Correct.
All right. So if something has happened in your life, whether that be divorce or your family facing deportation or a tragic event that happened with illness or a death, and that doesn't mean just the mom and dad or a sister and brother, that's mm-hmm. aunts and uncles, that's everybody as far as the family unit. I know that when I was in fifth grade, my counselor was in a horrible car accident, and that encompasses this as
yep,
well.
Yep. We never, it's the child. If that child had a relationship, a special relationship with that person, and that child is learning how to cope and manage those emotions, that's our person. And so whether that be a coach, a school teacher, counselor.
Divorce is the same thing because yep. now they have to learn how to deal different.
It's a disorganization of the family unit. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right. So it's Adam's Place. So if you want more information, go to adamsplacelv.org on the party coming up.
Yep.
Fundraiser
yep.
on how to volunteer, or if you want, you know, some information and you would like Adam's Place in your life, then go there.
Yep. Thank All you right. so much, Steph.
Kelly, thank you for coming in this morning. I just, you guys have a great place, and I hope that everyone listening this morning will take the opportunity to get involved.
Thank you.
All right, Adam's Place. That's what we've been talking about in this segment this morning on Neon and Beyond. If you have any questions or concerns, you know, you can email me at Steph, STEPH, at point POINT97.com. Hang tight. More great things on the way.
If you would like to contact us with any comments, program ideas, or would like to raise awareness for your nonprofit organization or event, email Melissa Meyer at melissa@lvradio.com. Neon and Beyond is a public service of Lotus Broadcasting in Las Vegas, Nevada.